a very good Tuesday. You yearling buyers, you. Unbelievable. Just a banner night to start the Saratoga Select Yearling Sale. Night two tonight. A little bit on the desultory side. It used to be that you'd wake up this time of year, Saratoga, it'd be nice and refreshing. Maybe even have to put on a vest. But you certainly put on a vest if you're David and Gordo. David wears a vest. It's 95 degrees. But you get used to that summer freshness. There's no summer freshness. Oh my God! Again, every morning it's 83 degrees. It's hard to think of this area as subtropical. I went out to feed the cats at 4, and I was like, oh my God, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Shouldn't it be a little refreshing? No. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website. Just an amazing night and an amazing atmosphere. We'll talk about it with Jessica Martini. It's never too early for a martini. If it's Jessica Martini, plenty of the martinis were flowing last night, and sometimes it can be a problem, right, at the sale. Unbelievable. It started right away. You could just tell the demand was at a high level. There was the Curlin Colt Hip 9, and even before Hip 9, which I thought was going to hit a million and stalled at 950. I mean, stalled, that's a funny term. But did you see the No Name Never Colt signed for by Reeves and Hillen? $425,000. That was the second offering of the evening, right at about, 6:45. That Colt. These are yearlings. They're not 18 months old. He looked like a 3-year-old. I was like, oh my God. It's funny because that's one of those hips. I'll bring it up with Jess and see what Jess thinks. That was one of those hips that was a standalone offer. And so we talked yesterday with Jess's partner, Christy DeBernardis. They've got to be standouts physically, and that sure looked like one to me. Anyway, things just were steady, and they were brisk. There was that very busy period and intense period. It must have been you lose track of time at some point because you watch some sale, then you talk to people, then you maybe get a drink, you get a bite to eat, whatever, and then all of a sudden. 20 hips have gone by, but just past the midpoint of the evening, starting with the Uncle Mo Colt, that is your session topper and your potential sales topper, the $1.5 million Stop the Press, the Uncle Mo out of Secret Sigh. Lane's End Consigning and Terry Finley and Woodford and Lane's End, the same. This is a becoming a familiar troika, and from the people that brought you Flightline, and $1.5 million, and then very soon thereafter, the Into Mischief that Mr. Morey signed for $1 million. That was hip 74. And then four hips later, the Justified, the Pennsylvania bred for $1.1 million. So the Coolmore bought. And then there was also another $1 million seller, which was the Spendthrift, Cypress Creek, Vinnie Viola group partnering. That's the one out of the Viola Mayor Teresa Z. So you get certain themes here. This kind of came up a little bit with Jess and on TV with Nicole Russo the other day. The support or the ties that breeders, whether they're commercial breeders or whether they're people that are breeding potentially to, sell some and race some. Here's St. Elias, Vinnie Viola, Teresa Z, and retaining a piece. Jane Lyon doing the same thing. So, Coolmore supporting, Justify or Uncle Mo, etc. So, a very, very strong opening to the sale, and the final numbers they were up on every front. They had everything that they wanted when you want to tally up a sales, on whether it's a day, a session, a book, whatever it is. Gross was up double digits. Average was up double digits. Median was up double digits. And they had under, in fact, Boyd Browning called it the superfecta or the grand slam. Buybacks under 20%. So incredibly strong. And we'll go over some of the individual stallion results after one evening. And what was the time? Let me see. What was the total? I think 69 hips, right? Yeah, 69. 69 sold, only 17 not sold. So that's 86 total. And I think the hip, I think 108 hips. So there were just a handful of outs. It's a banner. It's a banner marketplace. It is a seller's market. For sure. The demand for horse flesh is high. And what was notable, and let me save this. There's no reason for me to keep expanding. We'll talk to Jess in about 10, 12 minutes, and we'll let her hit the stories. And she and Christy with a wall-to-wall coverage at TDN. Beyond the sale, I suppose that the news was racing. Let's talk about the racing topic, all right? And we got caught up yesterday in the Colonial Monmouth Monday Mid-Atlantic Pick 4. And nice job getting things going from Jessica Paquette, because Jess was going to lean heavily on Stanhope, and that was a good lean in terms of Stanhope grabbing the lead under Jose Gomez and not relinquishing it. They were coming at him late. This, of course, the New York bred. We've seen a lot of him, and he was he ran 2 weeks ago at Saratoga, but Stanhope wires that claiming group and did not get taken. But that started the first leg, and then came the craziness. there was actually plenty of craziness. There was also, there was also the potential for a takedown, and anyway, and we'll get to that, I suppose. But in that second leg yesterday, here comes a horse that ends up at 57-1, and was not the longest shot on the board. The longest shot was 88-1. But True Atka, a Yes It's True mare for GOP Racing and Gerard Ochoa. That True Atka under Louis Reyes, this horse not only won, but I thought won with authority. And when you went back and looked at True Atka, there's no way that this horse, and I think, in fact, Marcus Hirsch is going to join us to handicap the pick five carryover, which resulted in no small part from True Atka's win. At Colonial. $82,000 pick five carryover today, races 6 through 10. And there's two stakes today at Colonial. Two 2-year-old stakes that we will only won. The Keswick. And in fact, right? You know about Keswick because we spent the day there, and courtesy of Rob McNamara and Keswick Hall. We had that wonderful, you know, two Mondays ago. And so that's why you know the word Keswick. That's the 2-year-olds, and then the 2-year-old fillies in the Hickory Tree. That is not part of the carryover sequence. Carryover sequence is very interesting. And so Marcus is going to swing through and give us some opinions of his. And as we discussed the other day with Marcus, he's having a very good meet. But this True Atka, when you went back and looked, and I'm using, you know, I'm using Thorograph as the measurement tool on this topic. True Atka was far from impossible. This was a 10-horse field, and True Atka was about, you know, fifth or sixth best, and was really within, you know, within a length, essentially, of horses like Girls a Bullet, for instance. And Long Tall Woman, the horses that were like 9-2, 6-1, True Atka was just a notch beyond those horses. Tweet Away Robin was another one. But see, all of those horses I just mentioned, you know, the favorite, obviously, Lady Ave and Dr. Anne, those were the two major players that you had to, you know, you have to know, and you certainly were using. And then came this next layer, which was Girls a Bullet, Long Tall Woman, Tweet Away Robin, and they all actually were in the, 11-2, 9-2, 11-2. But then it jumps up to True Atka at 57-1, which was insane. It's just crazy. I mean, when Jason Beam noted, you know, that the True Atka was a $100 horse, I went and looked right away, and I was like, how did this, this is just, this is the beauty of a full field. True Atka, there you go. So that was going to ensure that the pick four was going to be a boffo return. Then we went back to Monmouth, and although I was not enamored by Dr. Doyle, but the public was, and I guess Dr. Doyle and what was it, Pogi, on time form on the pace projector, they looked like the pace, and then Dr. Doyle, I mean, it's not like he went slow. 22-1, 44-3, 56-3, and they never were. They weren't getting to him at all. And in fact, Frank noted, I think off the turn, that Dr. Doyle was large and in charge. So, Claudio Gonzalez for Bob Bone, and Jose Torres aboard. So, you know, I didn't have him on the ticket. I was trying to get, you know, some of the stalker types. And Pianzi had a terrible start in there, too, the second choice. The Jamie Ness started poorly and then came running, but, you know, could only get within three lengths at the wire. So that gets us to the fourth leg. And in that fourth leg, actually had a chance to maybe get out for the sequence, to be honest. And the ideal result would have been High Vibes winning that three-horse photo. And I picked High Vibes and thought that, you know, was going to get a forward trip. This was a very good race. And High Vibes ends up getting, you know, nosed. There were literally three noses on the wire bobbing. And King's Legacy, the horse on the inside, who I think Marcus... I went afterward, and I was curious what Marcus had done in here in the two Colonial races. And he had picked King's Legacy, 4-1, and Maxine's Machine, who took a lot of money, Maxine's Machine. I mean, I thought Maxine Machine was okay. That was the Brad Cox. Was better than okay and just got decisioned here. So the try actually was $125. It was good. But you also had objections and stretch issue. So the unchanged though. There were a few people kind of calling for. It's funny. I turned away and because we were Tina and I I was making dinner. So I did not even until afterward realize that there had been some question and some contention. So between that, 4,000, by the way, 4,000 for the 4,000 and change, 4,300 for the Monday Mid-Atlantic, the MMA pick four. But also, because of the big price, you end up with an $82,000 pick five carryover. Marcus Hirsch in about an hour. Yeah, exactly an hour from now. We'll get Marcus's opinions. That nightcap, there were two horses. There were two horses alive, but neither of them, the four and the six, were alive, and they really were never serious contenders in the scheme of things. Good performance. Michael Campbell won this nightcap with a Frosted. Call me Iceman. And it's funny, Mrs. Weber, super flag, one of Mike Trombetta's. For Live Oak. Super flag. I came kind of running late, first time starter, and that horse is worth watching. I kind of figured it out, you know, little too late, made up a lot of ground. And then I should mention in the two jump races, let's slip this in while we're here. And Richard Valentine for Mrs. Ostrom, Kana's Key, broke the maiden. So maybe still time to get up to Saratoga with this Flincher gelding, four-year-old. And then in the handicap, Sean McDermott with a winner and on board. South Branch Equine, this a Vancouver four-year-old gelding, won the handicap. The two races, that was the race that Jessica called. And finally, from yesterday, while we're recapping, pretty formful result, although the favorite was nowhere to be found. Top Gun Girl faltered of Wesley's, but in the Lady Erie at Presque Isle, loyalty with Contreras for Josie Carroll down from Woodbine, and Brendan Walsh with the runner-up, that Majestic Doro, who we liked, I think, won at Woodbine last time, right? Yeah, there you go. And also another, it's funny, Johnny Ortiz had finished third in here with that Chasing Fireflies, who we've talked about, coming off of a win at Ellis. So good little, that was a good little stake yesterday up at Erie, the Lady Erie, Presque Isle. All right, just about 20 minutes in, and you know what? Let's get Jessica in here. Case and we'll get started and I'll run down everything that's going on today. Jessica Martini is going to join us next. Mark Cassie, as promised, Cassie with a big weekend, and we'll get some sale opinion from Mark. Then Marcus Hirsch at about 10:15, 10:30. Looking forward, I mentioned Gage Holmes and her stake win at Ellis on Sunday. Well, we're going to get a visit with her. It should be fun, and we're going to hear her whole story and how she went from vet tech and animal science degree major. Degree holder, etc., and then parlayed it into becoming a rider and becoming a jockey and now winning a stake. It's a cool story. And would love showcasing the people that, young people that come into the game. Andy Serling later, an hour three, of course, and Popo. I've been looking for Popo, who must be absolutely buried because we haven't talked in a couple of weeks. I've also got to slip in the Dave Greinke story from yesterday. The first half numbers, outstanding at Saratoga. I mean, it looks like, assuming that unless we get rain for 10 of the remaining 21 days, it sure looks like they're going to smash handle records. Business has been spectacular. And business was spectacular last night in the Humphrey Finney Pavilion and maybe from the back ring as well. And we'll get the other half of the TDN two-headed monster, Christy DeBernardis and Jessica Martini. We got the advance from Christy yesterday, and here's the day one recap. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. And I suppose it's all smiles around the sales ground, unless you're somebody that got shut out.
There were probably a lot of people who got shut out because it was definitely a night of vibrant trade, as we like to say in the business. Just a very strong sale, which you would expect. Obviously, it's a boutique auction. It's the top of the market. And that's always been plenty strong. So it was encouraging to see.
I mentioned that it took no time at all, Jess. I mean, within the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you had horses that you could just tell they were racing. They were racing up from 100,000, into the $400,000-$500,000 range. Then came that Curlin that reached 950, looked like he was going to bust through to seven figures, but that was sort of a bellwether of what was going to unfold as the evening went on.
Sure thing. Yeah, it did not take a long time to get started last night, that's for sure. And we ended up, with $4 million horses, which tied the total number from last year. And I think everyone kind of expects tonight will be an even stronger session.
We'll talk about tonight in a minute, but let's hit some of the highlights, and whether you want to do it, sort of as the ebb and flow, and from your perspective, that's a good question, actually, Jess. Where do you typically like to watch from?
It's the kind of sale that it's so rapid fire that you kind of, not in the press box, I guess would be the best way to answer that. Try and stand out back to see where the people are bidding out back, and then come inside and you can stand next to the people who are bringing the tickets. So you don't sit down a lot during the sale.
What did you notice? Were there any, was there buying groups or sort of a theme that you sensed was developing?
It seemed kind of like the regular faces, that we've seen. Spendthrift, obviously, with the Brad Cox Colts group, that they've partnered with them before and they continue to do it. SF Bloodstock and Starlight, the usual partners. Obviously, West Point and Woodford teaming up for the topper, where they bought Flightline here a couple of years ago. So it was the usual faces, and I think very good to see such a diverse buying bench. I think we counted up, there were 16 horses over $500,000, and there were 15 different buyers for those 16 horses. So that's always a good thing to see.
Wow. And frankly, there were a couple of names that we know have been shopping that really did not sign a ticket. So if they're going to get anything, they're going to get it tonight. So that diversity could widen even further. Well, then let's talk about the specifics and some of the big stories. And of course, when you pull up the TDN stories after a night like last night, there's a series of basically small sets of paragraphs where each story, and whether it's a consigner angle or a breeder angle or the buyer or the stallion angle, Jess and Christy tell these stories. And the Uncle Mo secret Psy session leader and potential sale leader, $1.5 million to a very familiar group. And not only was it a familiar group, but Terry Finley was bidding from the same place that he bought Flightline.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, I've covered sales for a number of years now, and people do tend to stay in the same places. It's very helpful to me, and I appreciate that they do that. But I don't know if it's a superstitious thing or just what they're used to, but people tend to bid in the same spot every sale, and that's always helpful to see.
Give us your thoughts about this cult and some of the back story to it.
Well, actually, Christy and I were watching him yesterday morning, and he was with Jane Lyon, and Jane was telling Christy that the horse hadn't been back into the stall at all the whole morning. He was acting up because he was kind of tired of being shown. He'd had enough of this, but obviously, all the right people were on him.
You know, you mentioned that, and it's funny that you point that out. And one thing that you always are watching, you want to make sure that a horse has got a certain mental toughness when it comes to the handling, and late in an afternoon, or you know, in the couple of days leading up to a sale, if they start to get antsy and cranky, but also dealing with this heat and keeping them looking fresh as daisies can't be easy either.
That's always been something that's brought up, particularly with this sale in Saratoga, because there are so many people in it, and the horses are looked at a lot. And I've heard many consigners say, you know, we target horses at the sale who are bomb-proof, who have good minds,
right,
who aren't going to be fazed by the constant showing, because there is a lot of showing in a short amount of time here.
That's a portion of this that we hear brought up quite often. For Jane Lyon, she has got an arsenal at her disposal, and it's certainly interesting to see how she also is quite willing to stay involved. And that was a theme to at least two of the four million dollar sellers had the breeder stay in for a piece.
Yeah, St. Elias spread that into Mischief that Ned Toffee signed for late in the day, and they're staying in for a piece. And Ned actually from Spendthrift actually said it was always good to see that a breeder wanted to stay in for a piece of the horse, because it obviously implies that the breeder has confidence in the horse too.
Well, $1.5 million, and I did see, sometimes we don't, we very frequently know where a horse might go based on buyer and their association with certain trainers. From what we understand, Shug is going to get his hands ultimately on this colt.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. He's obviously had success with them before, going to be a big night tonight as well, as we said before.
All right, let's talk about the Justify and the $1.1 million Pennsylvania bred. And for the blacks, another big hit. And this time a seven-figure seller for Blackstone.
In the sales, timing is everything. And I think Justify is so hot right now. He's really off to a great start at stud. And that's, when you lead a Justify into the sale, that's you got to feel pretty good at this moment. I think the same can be true of Mendelssohn, who had a really good sale yesterday. I think Northview sold one for $435. So that timeliness is really a major factor in the sales.
This one out of Slew's Golden Rule, Warrendale consigned, Coolmore. That was another theme, Jess. Whether it's breeders supporting their mares or farm connections supporting their stallions, that's a common trait as well at this marketplace.
Yeah, Coolmore has traditionally supported the stallions very well, and obviously Spendthrift has gotten into that with plenty of Into Mischiefs. I know they have bought a few Bolt Auras, so yeah, it's a common theme that we've seen. And I would also say, there's some new breeders that were represented last night. I talked to Brett Farrell, who represents Speedway, and they had a nice sale with a Tappet filly. It's one of their first homebreds that they've sold. So it's exciting to see a new breeder in the mix as well.
Well, another familiar name signing tickets, Hideki Mori. And Mr. Mori taking home that $1 million Into Mischief. That was the third highest knockdown along with the Into Mischief out of Teresa Z, the spendthrift Cypress Viola purchase. So four seven-figure sellers. And how many did we have last year? In terms
last
of
year,
million
the,
plus.
Over 2 days, there were four over the both days last year.
Wow,
so we've already tied last year's figure.
Unbelievable. You know, in addition, obviously Into Mischief with a very strong performance, and that doesn't come as any surprise. We should mention that the top filly was $750,000. That was the one that Muir Hutt purchased. From TaylorMade, that, and speaking of Speedway, as you referenced, $750,000, the Tappet Philly out of Shea Jolie. One of the other factors I thought was a real diverse set of stallions with strong sales. A little bit of everybody was represented.
Yeah, we kind of thought it would be an Into Mischief show. But there were some other stallions that got into that. I know you always like to talk about the first crop sires, and Vino Rosso had a nice sale with a filly who brought $550,000 from the Jacksons, the Lael stables.
Curlin on both sides of the ledger. Curlin with the $950,000 early in the sale that went to the Colts group for Liz Crowe and Brad Weisbord with some partners involved, $900,000, but also a $675,000 filly bred by Don Alberto out of Luminance. This is Hill and Dale's product that Mike Ryan signed for. One of my favorite families, Miss Hollywood, $600,000. Brinker Hill bred this filly by Uncle Mo. Box Stables taking this one home. That's buying into a strong female family. I saw Peter Brandt plenty involved, right? Peter, I think, bought it at least two. I saw the here's the Tappet out of Lascarina. $475,000, but I thought there was another white birch.
I saw that Peter and Chad Brown were there till the bitter end last night. They were in their seats in the pavilion the whole night. So they were looking for something else, I guess.
Well, and of course, you know, it doesn't just have to be Peter signing the ticket. There's yeah, there's other agents out there that, in fact, Mike Ryan also bought an Into Mischief colt that Don Alberto bred. That was Hip 75 for 5 1/4. There was a very healthy variety going on. And you mentioned the buyers. I saw Frank Brothers signed a ticket for Starlight on a Not This Time. City of Light going to Doolittle and Centennial. Hip number 6, $450,000 that Blue Devil Racing bred.
Yeah, as you said, very diverse on all fronts, which is, you know, what you want to see in a healthy, vibrant marketplace.
You mentioned you talked to Vino Rosso. At the opening of the show, one of the earliest through the ring, I wasn't convinced. I think I wanted to see the fold papers on the No Name Never, Jess. That looked like a three-year-old.
I missed him. But, I missed him. I wish I'd seen him. I might go and try and see if I can see him on the sales ground today.
Hip number 3, Omaha Beach. There's the other white birch, $350,000 for an Omaha Beach filly as well. So Matoli as well, $350. Tom McCrocklin bought hip number 11. The Audibles sold well, right?
The Audibles were good in July, and they continued on here in Saratoga.
Three Audibles, one RNA, but 210, 250, and 320. Those are nice numbers for Audibles' first major offerings. I mentioned that City of Light, Catalina Cruiser with a 300 and a 125. This is going back through Gunrunner. Gunrunner had one of the higher priced RNAs, 550, but sold 285, a 300, a 300. We already talked about Justify's $1 million seller. Mendelsohn. Mendelsohn. There's quite a few Mendelsohns that'll sell tonight, right? You had one for 4.25, Kenny McPeak, and that's probably a good indication. If Kenny's interested in the Mendelsohns, that's a good sign. That was the only one that actually sold last night. The other one was out. So there's like six Mendelsohns that are going to go through this evening.
Yeah, I talked about the timeliness, and that's the key with him. I think he's heating up at the right time for this sale.
Did you see the look at the numbers for Not This Time? 450, 375, 375, 2.25, 400.
I can say it again. Timeliness. Not This Time is having a great year, and I know Brian Graves at Gainesway had a nice pin hook with the Not This Time filly. He bought for 120 last fall, and he sold for 375 last night.
Well, 28,930,000 for 67 hips, and another set this evening. What Christy gave a couple of names or a couple of hips out yesterday. What are you watching tonight? What's got your attention?
I think a lot of people are on the Gainesway has a Gunrunner colt bred by Debbie Oxley that seems to be very popular, so we're looking for him for sure. And Into Mischief obviously is going to be popular again tonight. He's got a full to last year's toppers coming through from Gainesway, and TaylorMade has a colt who's a half to Matoli that by Indian Into Mischief. So those are the couples that we're really definitely looking at tonight.
Should also mention, because Christy did point out yesterday with us, Jess, that she saw plenty of the pinhookers, doing their legwork. And I saw that. I think when you look in the 200, 250 range, that's where you see. I saw Pickview 210 for a Nyquist colt, a couple of other notable pinhook type operations.
They were definitely active.
Look at a poach.
I think it's one of those situations where everyone always says, you have to follow them up there and see what happens. You wouldn't think typically this would be a good sale for pinhookers because of the price level, but they follow them up there, and if they see what they want in that nice, as you say, 200 to 300 spot, then they can take advantage of that.
Well, and there's a perspective, I guess, Jess, that says, when these horses are selected into the catalog 4 months ago, right? So in the growth cycle, there may be some that, whether the growth is stalled or they're in a certain. You don't know when they get selected into the catalog exactly what they're going to look like in August. And so they might be in an awkward stage, and that puts some people off. And that's where the pinhookers can, certainly the pedigrees in here are consistently strong, so they don't have to, they're not going to worry about that. They might be able to get themselves a bargain or two because a horse is in a kind of an in-between spot.
Sure, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, there's in the time of these yearlings, it's a long time between being selected for the catalog and the actual sale. So anything can happen there, and yeah, they can definitely be going through an awkward time, and Pinhooker could get a great bargain.
Well, everything you want to read about last night and in anticipation of this evening. If you didn't get a chance to go last night, get over to the sales grounds this evening. And Tina's excited about going into town because the Clydesdales have arrived at Saratoga. So she's not looking at any yearlings. She wants to see things three times their size. So we're going to go off to look at the Clydesdales.
Something for everyone in Saratoga.
Exactly. Although we're not buying any Clydesdales. Jessica
never
Martini.
Know, never I know.
that's true. You're right. You're not wrong about that. Jess, we'll see you out there tonight. Jess Martini, TDN, everybody, and her partner, Christy DeBernardis, just a great job. And the TDN alerts and all the coverage when it comes to the sales, they just do an amazing job. Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, Steve.
Jessica Martini, the two-headed monster, the Martini DiBernardis team. We'll stay here, obviously. Mark Cassie is going to join us. We'll get a visit in with Mark. I want to get his opinion because I would have to think that I know that yesterday he and Mrs. Weber were pulling them out of stalls, and there was no live oak on a on a receipt last night. So you probably will see a live oak buyer or two. Mrs. Weber does like to support this sale and bring one or two home. We're going to talk to Mark about a very good weekend, obviously. In fact, a win for Mrs. Weber at Woodbine. Super hoity-toity, funny name. And then, of course, the excellent, excellent performance of our flash drive, who really did blow apart that De La Rose on Sunday. And there were others, too. Mark had a great weekend. Janis Joplin for Gary Barber, the maiden, looked for a minute. Looked like there was a chance, in fact, that the Lucas filly, was Naughty Gal, was going to maybe wander a little too far afield. But she straightened herself out enough under Luis Saez to prevail in the Adirondack. But the Gary Barber maiden, Janis Joplin, gets a stake placing. So we'll talk to Mark. We'll see what he, I don't want to ask him to tip his hand. We'll see if I'm sure he will confirm that that they will be active potential buyers this evening. Let me turn to see what else Mark has got going into the weekend too, and. See if we can't anticipate. We've got certainly a brace, you know, the last few years. When God Stormy would get ready for the four-star Dave and the back-to-back wins. I think we got Mark now.
Hello.
We do. Mark Cassie, good morning.
Hey, Steve. Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Went through the night one results with Jessica Martini of TDN, and we were talking about the buying bench. And so before we talk about the sales results or the race results, let's speculate about tonight. I did not see a Live Oak purchase last night, and we know that Mrs. Weber likes to support the sale. Who are you on?
She was on the Vinnie Rosso filly, and that was for Mike Trombetta. And then we were the underbidder on the Tappet filly. I think hit 72.
Well, then we will expect some activity this evening.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Who have you been impressed with, particularly on the first crop side of the ledger?
You know, honestly, I normally I don't really have a look at them here when I'm trying to buy for Mrs. Weber or Tracy Farmer. I look at the proven sires. So really the only one I can tell you I saw was I did see the Vinnie Rosso and she was beautiful. But I can't really comment, to be honest. I did look, right. I couldn't say that. I did look at a couple of Omaha Beaches and I thought they were nice. You know, Omaha Beaches with some big pedigree, but I kind of say that, Steve, we'll look at those a little more in September.
Sure.
Because, you know, we buy for many different people, and so in lots of different categories and price ranges. And so I have my thoughts and my theories, and I kind of stick with them.
Did you pull out hip 169, the flame away Colt?
I did.
I knew you would.
For personal reasons.
I imagine. We were talking on Monday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, just speculating that you know, somebody like a flame away who stands for 7,500 at Darby Dan, for him to show up with a product in this catalog has got to be a standout.
Well, and the same like, you know, a Vinny Rosso where he's, you know, Rosso where he stands for 20. Yeah, it's you got to be a standout. And I would call the flame away Colt as close to an A-plus as I can get. I usually grade him. I would probably grade him an A-plus.
Hip 169 tonight, Gainesway consigned. This out of a Bernardini mare, and this mare is 4-for-4 with her runners. She's got 4 winners, and then 2 more that are on the ground working their way toward the racetrack. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Mark, let's talk about some race results.
Steve, just about Flame Away. I think we bought Flame Away here in Saratoga. If my memory serves me. Yeah, I think we bought him off of TaylorMade for Mr. Oxley when he was a yearling at Saratoga.
Let's take it. It's easy enough to.
Yeah, see, I could be wrong, but
I imagine.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Well, you would think, Mark, that that he has, and here it is. Let's see, Saratoga, John Oxley, TaylorMade, $400,000.
There you go.
You would think with the demand of the Scat Daddies, with Justify and Mendelsohn, you know, here's mm-hmm. Flame Away
exactly.
That is essentially, right? He's going to be the bargain Scat Daddy.
Justify and Mendelsohn, you're 100% correct, are helping feed the frenzy on Flame Away. The great thing about Flame Away was he was extremely sound and great mind. I remember looking, and obviously he's by Scat Daddy out of Fuachi Pegasus mare, and so that brought a little concern to me with the on the bottom side that maybe you know that he could be a little hot-headed, but he was far from that. He was an absolute dream to train, so hopefully his offspring will be the same.
Well, and I, since we went in this direction, and with the New York bred sale Sunday and Monday, I do want to mention and put in a plug for Rock Ridge. We went to Combatant. This is yet another of the lower profile Scat Daddy sons, and we went mm-hmm. to Combatant with our Carlisle Bell. And mm-hmm. Rock Ridge has got Combatant. Absolute opportunity here in New York to breed to a mm-hmm. Scat Daddy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, Scat Daddy already, you know, he already has a little special place in my heart. Obviously, he is the dam sire of Papa Cap as well. So you're talking to a big Scat Daddy fan, and whether it's on the broodmare side or the sire side, he, you know, just continues to be outstanding, and he's that will continue. You know, he's already set his mark on our business.
Very much. All right, we'll bring up Papa Cap in a minute. Mark, let's talk about the terrific weekend that came off. And you know, since we're talking Live Oak, let's start there. What a great Saturday Sunday for Mrs. Weber. Super Hoity Toity wins the Colleen on Saturday, and then you come back on Sunday, and our Flash Drive wins the De La Rose.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a great weekend. Two different deals. We, Mrs. Weber and I, we bought I call her Hottie Toddy. I know it's Hoity Toity. My wife tells me all the time, no, you're not saying it correct. But anyways, as long as they call her first, I'm good with it. We bought her Uncle Mo Philly out of the March OBS sale, I believe. And then our flash drive is a product of, you know, the wonderful breeding program that Charlotte and Mrs. Weber has put together over a period of 50 years.
You sent a phalanx out in the Colleen, and Love to Run as well, and Mrs. Barbara. Talk about this one's development here.
I think she's 4 for 6 now or something like that.
Yeah, four for six.
And her race, I want to say, was it the Mazarine last year? She had a just horrific trip in the Mazarine. I was shocked that she ran as well as she did. And then, of course, after that, as we often do, Mrs. Weber is a big, big believer in giving horses time. In fact, if I have them for very too long, she'll say, "Okay, Mark, it's time to send it home for a rest." So we sent her home. You know, she has an unbelievable training center and a great team in Ocala, and we sent her home, gave her a break, and reaped the rewards so far this year.
I'm trying to pull up the PPs. Yeah, the Celine. She started the season in the Celine, and mm-hmm. Well, you know, they really, it, Mark, that says a lot actually about kind of the old school approach of kicking them out and then bringing them back and having a fresh horse to work with.
Well, I mean, and that's, you've seen it, you know, over the years, the world approval. Right now, I think Mark Sharp just came back and ran a tremendous race. I don't know if he's 6 or 7, you know, but that's old school, as you say, and it's, I think, you know, a lot of our horses would be better served with that same approach. We did the same thing. If you look with our flash drive, you can see where she ran, and then she was given some time off, and we actually got her ready. She's a handful. She's a real handful. So she was over at Live Oak, and she is extremely difficult to deal with, so they sent her over to our training center there in Ocala, which is about less than 10 miles from Live Oak. And we ran her in the race at Tampa first time, and she ran well. And, you know, she's ran well all along. I had a lot of confidence in her going into to Sunday's race. In fact, I told Dylan, I said, I think you're on the best horse rider that way. And he kind of, you know, he took the overran route. I said, I didn't want to be cute. We got a little lucky. I think Chad's filly, the one, can't think of her name, she ran into a lot of issues. It would have been close, but she had a rough trip. But, you know, that's turf racing for you.
Well, that's our favorite Alan Jerkins quote. Turf racing, where one horse wins and six should have.
Yeah, I ran a horse last week. That I'm sure for Mr. Oxley, a colt that we're really high on, Colt Determinedly, he is by Cairo Prince. If you ever get a shot, you should go back. It was the day Joel won 4 that day. He definitely should have won 5. You go back and watch him run, and I'm sure Chad was having the same feeling, you know, in this race as well. So, yeah, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Well, and this, you mentioned how you were keeping an eye on a filly, one of the two serious considerations at the sale for Mrs. Weber. When it comes to the female families, you know, always looking to, you know, buy in and get a hand, you know, into families that make a difference on the breeding side. And this happens to be this family that mare is out of Jane Lyons' broodmare band, essentially. Comes. This is the family, a favorite trick among others, and Moonshine Memories. In fact, I think the mare is a half to. Yeah, Moonshine Memories, the Malibu Moon Grade 1 winner as a two-year-old, Town Tour is a half to, and also to Indian Evening, another stake winner. So this is a nice family.
Yeah, first I want to say Saratoga's been very good to us, whether it's Mr. Oxley with horse like Perspective, and then, of course, Flame Away. Right now, for Mrs. Weber, we have Super Sensational. It's such a nice filly. We bought her there. But as far as, you know, we're always, as you say, we're always looking at the big picture, and we, what they usually do is they'll go ahead and sell four or five mares every year, and then we try to bring in these young mares. So we have four or five. Well, we have Super Hotty Toddy. Hopefully she'll run another year. Hoity toity, I'm sorry. I don't know. I think our flash, that was my wife in the back correcting me. So we have our flash drive, which we'll see how she's doing. She may run another year. We have Super Sensational. You know, we have a lot of great broodmare prospects to get into her broodmare band. So we're always looking for, you know, different type, different bloodlines. Last night, of course, we went for the Tappet filly. We weren't successful, but she was out of an Indian Charlie mare, which I'm a big fan of. Super Sensational's out of an Indian Charlie mare. I'm big on broodmare sires. You know, I've been studying it since I was like 12. So, the breeding part of the business was a big part of my life early on, and it's continued to be.
Well, and this, when we talk about our flash drive, which we should mention, she herself won the Colleen last year and the Celine. So, you know, basically, Super Hoity Toity may be on that same projection, on that same trajectory. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, this is a classic Live Oak product. When you see Dynaformer and King Mambo, that were a couple of Mrs. Weber's favorites.
Right, exactly. Yes, I agree 100%. You're correct. It's interesting because we brought her to Saratoga as a two-year-old, and we had high hopes on her, and she ran terrible first couple starts. And we were frustrated, and I said to Mrs. Weber, let's just take her home and give her a break, and we did. And then as a three-year-old, she was a terror. And now again at four.
You know, Mark, I just looked back. The damn Dynamotor was out of My Chickadee, and that makes her a half to Poolland, who... You trained, yes?
Now, Poolland was Melnick. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I didn't train Poolland. I think Todd trained Poolland. It's
okay,
getting,
maybe.
It's getting,
all right.
I'm getting old, Steve. It's getting... I was trying to remember. I had a filly. I was telling somebody's story, and I said, I have a filly for Stone Street that was second, beating ahead in the Breeders' Cup, and I can't even remember her name. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I think we've been fortunate that, you know, we've had a lot of good horses. So, but I did not train Poolland. I'm almost certain Todd did.
Okay. And there's something very familiar about the...
Now, if we were playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I may call a friend.
There were a couple of people that could probably pitch in here. Who was the Mark? Didn't you, you know who I'm thinking of is the Churchill winner, either a Clark maybe with Miguel Mena.
Pool play. That was for Bill Farish. Pool play.
There you go. That's who I'm thinking of.
You were close. Mm-hmm.
us halfway there. All right. Well, I thought our flash drive ran huge. And, you know, going in from a handicapping standpoint, she absolutely, certainly on Theragraph, she had the two best figures and actually looks like she's still improving again.
I agree. I can see, as I said, she's a few tries short of a happy meal. And but as she's gotten older, she's gotten much better. And I think you're seeing it in her performance as well. That's kind of what happened with Got Stormy. Got Stormy was a real hothead when she was a three-year-old. And as she got a little older, you know, she learned to relax and focus, and that's one of the things that made her a better older horse. And I see the same thing with our flash drive.
You know, that opens up an avenue with a question before we move on to some other runners, Mark. What's your policy, and how much do you employ mare regulator supplements to keep if they're difficult in some cases?
No,
Mary Mare and
pretty
and
well.
Such.
I would say almost 0%.
Okay.
Every now and then. I kind of like to try to let them be as natural as they can.
Just curious. All right. You mentioned we mentioned a couple of names that and specifically Got Stormy that then makes us think of Gary Barber. Talk about the good try by the maiden Janis Joplin on Sunday, and came very close. It looked for a couple of strides mid stretch. Like,
I was excited.
Yeah.
So she has a she has a kind of a interesting history. So I bought her for my wife as a yearling for $25,000. We put her in. Sometimes I'll put. I'm a horse trader, so we put her in the sale at OBS. Couldn't get anything for her. I don't think we ever got a bid. I bought her back for less than what we bought her for, but I kept saying to my guys in Ocala, and they kept saying the same thing: this filly can run, this filly's all right. And so we ran her, we sent her to Churchill, and we were getting towards the end of the meet, and David Carroll and I were talking, and he said, well, she's probably a couple works from running. But I said, let's run her, get a race, and you know, maybe send her Saratoga. And of course, she ran very well. Gary happened to see it, and he called me, and he knows that we're sellers. We very seldom own them past their first start. So Gary bought her from us, and time went on, and I said, I think the Schuylerville's going to come up with a lot of speed and a small field. And he goes, well, let's run in it. So, and then again, you know, yesterday in the Adirondack, those fillies are nice. The Spinaway is going to be an extremely interesting race. I have a filly that I think is a superstar, and she's going to show up there. As long as she stays healthy. Her name's Wonder Wheel. She belongs to DJ Stables.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about
her. She broke her maiden by 5, and then she won the debutante by 7. I think she stays healthy. She is a superstar, and Todd's already unleashed a couple. And, yeah, the Spinaway will be an interesting race.
Well, we opened the meet with Len Green, and I'm sure Len would love to bookend visits. And we've talked about Wonder Wheel, which of course is named for the Coney Island Ferris wheel.
We have to give Lois. I think that was Mrs. Green. Lois came up. She comes up with some great names. You know, we have a great relationship. John Green and I, he's the racing manager, and we have a great relationship. And I think you're starting to see it already. We're building up some steam, and you're going to hear a lot about them in the future. So we got a lot of young horses. Right now, though, I don't know. I don't want to jinx her, and I don't want to jinx myself, but I haven't been excited about a horse since maybe Classic Empire. Of course, we had War of Will was in there as well, and Wonder Gadot. I think she's in that category, but not important what I think. It's what she proves. So we'll see what she has to say on in the spinaway.
Very good. Wonder Wheel looking ahead. Mark, I want to ask about a few, and one name already, a couple of names came up. Papa Cap came up. You mentioned March to the Arch, and I want to ask about not just him, you know, coming back and running a very good second in the Connaught Cup, but you won the Connaught with a really interesting horse, Fio de Ariana. This is an older Brazilian, and this may be kind of a diamond in the rough.
Oh, he's a superstar, that horse. I love him. It was kind of interesting. I think Gary and Adam, they bought him in Brazil, and he came over, and I think as soon as he got over, he was injured. He had a tendon injury, and then they brought him back, and I think he hurt his tendon again. And then they sent him to us at our training center. We got him ready for one race, and he won. And then he actually hurt his other leg. We brought him home, gave him some more time. And he was training really well, and we decided, you know, when you get these type of horses, there's very limited opportunities where you can run them. They just have no conditions. We tried him in a very tough spot at Keeneland, and he didn't run any good, but he scared the heck out of us. About an hour later, he coughed very badly, and we thought we were going to have to take him to the clinic. So I think maybe that's why he didn't give it his best effort. But he is he amazes me, that horse. He does things that only really good horses do.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And March, you know, March had an inside trip and it was giving away, you know, a lot of recency, and still managed to, you know, come running. And that actually seems like it might bode well for the next time he turns up.
Yeah, a little bit short for March. You know, it was a little short for him. But he had more spring in his step at, I can't remember if he's six or seven, but he was tugging on Patrick down the backside, like, let me go, I want to go after him, and I was surprised by that. I feel good about it's the King Edward, I believe, Queen's Plate Day. I feel good about the spot. I think both of those horses will be very tough.
You mentioned Super Sensational, going to run again before the meet ends, right?
She is actually going, I've already sent her to Woodbine. I'm going to run her in the, can't remember the name of race, but it's 7/8 for older fillies on the Tapeta. I'm trying, if she's good enough, I'm going to aim for the, I'm trying to make the Breeders' Cup sprint, Billy sprint.
Hmm.
And I just am spacing her races some. I brought her to Saratoga. She ran very well in the,
Caress.
The first race. No, the race at Woodbine. The sprint on the turf. I tried her on the turf. She ran well. And then I wanted to bring her so Mrs. Weber could watch her run for the Caress, and she ran well, I have other plans for her, and I'm sent her up to Toronto.
All right. Speaking of Toronto, I should ask you about Surfer Shore, the plate trial winner, and we're arcing toward the plate, Mark, just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you know, that was an interesting race. Obviously, you know, we won it with Sir for sure, and actually we finished 1-2 with Olive Dream, and they I thought there could be there was an inquiry. Took a while. Patrick Husbands had claimed foul on Sir for sure, who was ridden by Declan Carroll for us, and you know, it was a legitimate call. I thought it could have went either way. They decided to leave it up, and both ran really well. They're both going to enjoy a mile and a quarter, and I think they have. I think they both have very good chances in the Queen's Plate.
Very nice, and Declan's going to get a chance to ride the plate. Yes,
he is. I told David, you know, obviously he's David Carroll's son. I said, book a flight and come up and watch. Not every day your son's going to have a shot to win the Queen's Plate.
No, that's exciting. That's very cool. I'm glad
Declan,
you're
Declan, by the way, that. You know, Declan, I've always had a lot of faith in Declan. And I he's had a lot of bad luck along the way, but he's kind of fitting in really well, and he's been, you know, he's winning a lot of races at Woodbine, and I think if he continues to stay there, he's going to be a future star in Toronto. And we have some guys that have been, you know, Patrick's won, I think, almost 1,600 races for us, but he's getting to the end of his career. So there's some young guys coming up that look very good.
Mark Cassie with us just a minute or two more. Mark, I gotta get Marcus Hirsch in at 10:15, but I do want to ask about a couple of starters coming up. And speaking of Canada and success in Toronto, here's a John Fielding, Fred Hertrick bred Constitution New York bred for DJ. Conman comes back this week.
Yeah, Conman is. So far, Conman is about as pretty a horse as you'll ever see. He looks like a man among boys. That's what I called him, and that's why he got his name. I still haven't really figured out where Conman fits in. Early on, I thought he was a pretty good horse. Didn't train on as good as I thought he would. I thought his effort the other day was lackluster at best, and so we're searching. As you've heard me say many times, this game, training horses is putting a puzzle together. You keep trying the pieces till you find. I believe he's got, you know, he's a pretty good horse, but he's got to prove it.
In addition to Conman, which is tomorrow in the third at Saratoga, I want to jump to Ellis because there's an interesting cross traffic. Traffic Master, $200,000 purchase, Mark, and this on the turf on Friday at Ellis in the fifth. You've also got a couple of other, or at least one other, Crafty King. But Traffic Master caught my eye.
A beautiful horse. I said to Mr. Oxley in the last little while, I said, let's go back to old school, which was we just went out and bought athletes. And because we kind of got off track for a few years. And, of course, the first year we went and bought all the well-bred horses and bought a small with Classic Empire. So it wasn't off too far off track. But, you know, Mr. Oxley had a lot of success. We've had a lot of success. You know, buying horses like Dynamic Sky, who made over $1 million for $25,000. Dixie Strike, who bought her for $40,000. She made $1 million. So a lot of good horses. And so I said, let me just buy athletes. And, I mean, this horse is an athlete. He is an athlete. You know, as often a lot of our horses, they'll need a start. But we like this horse. So we're trying to get started. We're, you know, obviously we look at Kentucky Downs. We look at Churchill and Keeneland in the fall. So we're just trying to get a lot of these horses started so we know where we're at. Like I said to you, I think if you go back last Saturday, watch the second race horse I bought for Mr. Oxley for like $90,000 called Determinedly. You watch his race.
Yeah.
You text me later and tell me what you think, but I think he's a serious horse.
Well, and finally, Mark, because we talked about great families, and it's hard not to include the Tisnow Gelding that was a modest purchase that happens to be out of La Cloche, the Jimmy Toner, Darby Dan, Memories of Silver family, and War on Truth makes his second start. He's actually a three-year-old, so there was some issues, but this one for our friend Harry Rosenblum.
Yeah, we only got this horse this winter for Harry. What a nice man Harry is. And he's I don't know if I ever told you the story. I met him playing chess online. That's how I'm a big chess player, and Harry and I play online against each other, and that's how I met him. You know, I thought his first race was probably better than it looked. Obviously, grass is his deal, and we'll see. He's still not. We're not really sure what to think of him yet, so we'll see.
Well, sometimes, and that's actually a family. Sometimes they need a little bit of time and a little bit of maturity. So keep an eye. Mark, lots of good things going on off of a great weekend. Be watching tonight to see Live Oak show up on the ledger the second night of the sale. And best of luck the second half of Saratoga, too.
And Tracy, you may see Tracy jump in for one or two as well. So we'll see.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate it.
Bye, Steve.
Mark Cassie, everybody. Thanks, Mark. And you follow Mark on Twitter, Mark E. Cassie. I mean, there's a bunch of maiden winners at over the last month at Woodbine. We may have eight. In fact, Marcus Hirsch, Casey's going to reach Marcus while he does that here. I'm going to go back and look. And see how many, one, two, three, well, two at Saratoga, two at Woodbine, three at Woodbine, four at Woodbine, five at Woodbine, six at Woodbine, seven at Woodbine. Since July 1st, seven maiden winners at Woodbine and two at Saratoga. So, and as he mentioned, the tough luck placement by Determinedly, that is the kind of name for a horse that no race caller appreciates. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us. We appreciate Marcus taking a quick couple of minutes here to look at this carryover sequence at Colonial today. 82,000 in no small part tripped by the 57-1 winner. And Marcus, you tweeted that horse had no business being 57-1, and I totally agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're talking odds points, like 20-1 and 50-1, it's only 4 points, but dollars. And as far as maybe pick five consideration, there's this considerable gap. Anyway, I mean, I didn't pick the horse in the top three, and I didn't even play the sequence, but I have noticed that this has happened a number of times to me, where these, like, you'll have these huge-priced winners at Colonial, and then I'll go back and look, and they're hardly impossible horses in most of the cases. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, in this case, like, that's a horse that you could see it being, like, a C in a pick five, you know, haveable.
I completely agree. It was maybe, you know, just a couple of ticks. There were those three horses that went off 9-2 and 11-2 and was absolutely, you know, within reach of both of those.
Yeah, no, and as I pointed out to someone, like, if you looked back last summer, I do at Colonial more than some places even. I look for past success over both courses. I don't think everyone well, it's every track, but that does seem to be an indicator. And that horse had a big race in an allowance race last summer. So it wasn't, it wasn't baffling. I wouldn't be surprised if, there were one or more bombs in the sequence today either.
Let's talk about those, in fact, and there are the 2 2-year-old stakes as part of the day. Only one of the 2 stakes is in the sequence. That is the 7th, the Keswick, but the Hickory
maybe
Tree.
I misunderstood the sequence. I thought it was 6 through 10, no?
6 through 10, yeah. The 5th is not involved.
Oh, yeah. My mistake. I was thinking it was, I went the wrong direction. 7 and 9 and 5 and 7. Yeah, correct. And those horses will never be running for so much money again in their lives, probably. These Virginia restricted 2-year-olds. They're not a lot of proven form. I mean, we're talking about 43 buyers at top in the Keswick.
That's true, but in the boys race in the 5th, there's a couple of interesting things. That horse of Brittany Russell's that Larry Johnson bred, the Maryland bred by Great Notion, Heldish, 7-2, and not the favorite.
That's a terrible line. It's going to be even money.
Agreed. Simply Super for Mike Maker is the other morning line favorite. But I got to tell you, Marcus. Bandit's Heart, the Jerry Robb Mosler colt, and of course Mosler at Country Life. This is a fabulous family out of One Arm Bandit. Jerry Robb has had all of the siblings, including Anna's Bandit, who won 17 times and has earned $800,000. As it happens, the
and
full
very
sibling,
live, I think, very live. Very
I
live.
Think so, 12-1. With the X-Men.
Again, probably third choice, I would think, at like 5-1.
All right. What did, let me see. That's you, very much so. Who did you pick in there?
Heldish, but after when I was typing up my analysis and I had a second thought, it was too late to go back, but Bandit's Heart is very playable.
Well, that's who I, and especially because it wasn't in the sequence. I put Bandit on top. Looking for the price. Let's talk about the sequence. 82,000, and you would probably think this gets another 350,000. I'm going to guess maybe 400.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
I would have no guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Tuesday numbers are like. I have no idea, but. I mean, if anyone who's playing on a Tuesday, you'd think that they would be thinking about getting involved in this.
Agreed. It's a very fun sequence. However, it starts with what I called a hellish first leg. 14 horses, Marcus, going a mile and a 16th. These are maiden 16s, and not only do you have to decipher 12 indecipherable types, you got 2 hurdlers in here. Doug Fout has got one for Peggy Steinman, and I see that Arch Kingsley is involved here with the Can You Do the Twist, who I ended up picking.
Can You Do the Twist? Okay. Oh, yeah. Almost won for maiden 10 last summer. Yep. The 12 is going to be the favorite, I think. I don't like that horse, so that's automatic bump at the start for me. The Coffee Bean horse, big dropper for a Delacour.
Yes.
I think that horse will be mildly favored. Wide draw, no upside, doesn't finish at all. Pace, I think there's a decent amount of pace in this race. The course is fair, but speed is fine. Who did I pick? I picked Wi-Fi on top. Barn Change, Chelsea Danner is running like 8 horses a day, it seems. I don't know how she only has 24 runners. You know what I mean? On Wednesday, she has a bunch of first-10 starters. Good bred first-10 starters, too. I have a 3-1 Sewanee Chick. There's a scratch, the 2 is out. Oh, I guess I caved and put Coffee Bean 3rd. Terrible. That's not a horse I would use. I'm not using Coffee Bean on top, but I am spreading. I would use, like, I'll probably use six horses here, I would guess. Wi-Fi, this horse was beaten by a return rival Beastie Girl, but she's improved in her two turf races this year. And I just thought that, whereas, like, the horse you mentioned, Contender, but Maiden 10 is the baseline there, and there are a lot of Maiden 10s in here, whereas Wi-Fi is just dropping a little. But, I mean, it's just so impossible. I mean, I think I considered, like, when I went through it initially, I probably considered 8 different horses as a top pick. So how could I have a solid opinion here?
Well, it's funny that that's the number you came up with, because in my write-up, Marcus, I wrote the following. Hellish start to $82,000 pick 5 sequence with at least 8 win candidates.
I mean, just going through it now, 14. I said I'm against the 12, so I'm not even using that horse. She wins, whatever. 14, 11, 10, 8. 6, 5, 3, 2, and 1. I could see any of those horses winning.
I completely agree. I've got at the top of my page, it went 3, 1, 5, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 14, and I think I backed off of one of them. It's a very tricky group, and I, you know, and Marcus, I don't even think we necessarily will get a lot of help watching the board before we punch our tickets.
Who could have an what money is
right?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I know, I agree. Anyway, hope for the best. I think you can get narrower going forward. Maybe not that much.
Well, let's see where we might be able to tiptoe through, and we get to the second leg. It is the two-year-old fillies this time, and frankly, there's not nearly as much form in this group as there is in the boys' race.
No. I did like Tito's changed my luck a little bit, though. I don't think that she's 12-1, but she ran fine in her debut, which was open, whereas most of these horses are coming out of Virginia restricted races or main claimers. I guess I shouldn't say most. Several. Many. But then drop the rider on the turn, so you got the dashes instead of a finish. That was my guess. I thought Naval Empire ran pretty well, considering Trombetta is not a big first Avon. The horse was solid in her debut. She's the kind of horse I could see taking a step forward. A pretty good Empire maker out of Midshipman, something over speed, stamina. I don't know what Empire makers are. But those two and Cocktail Dreaming for Rob, that'd probably be all I'd consider in this one.
I'm in the same frame of mind. Cocktail Dreaming is who I put on top with Naval Empire, and Tito's changed my luck. The horse on the inside, Michael Tomlinson takes over that backseat Betty, the Macho Uno, the Mrs. Moulton bred, gets first Lasix, and is a nibbler, I suppose. Let's go to the third leg, and what's troubling about this group to me, Marcus, this is a starter allowance, and so you've got horses coming from a lot of different places. How about the last start, Fermat at Laurel, Uncle Armando at Gulfstream, the Queen Jewels at Presque Isle, Clint Maroon at Colonial, so did Medicine Tall and Colonist, well as Strongheaded, and then La Coya Road, last seen at Aqueduct in March. They're coming from all different condition levels. This is tricky, and it seems like the pace is kind of murky.
The typical Colonial race, get a lot of stuff. Medicine Tail is pretty fast. I think you're going to go a good clip here. Medicine Tail, Clint Maroon, strong-headed tracking. Queen's Jewels also is a pace player. Queen's Jewels was a... I couldn't figure out why they stopped running the horse in middle distance turf races. You go back, I mean, you can see, 24 turf starts. that horse has come back into form again and was a fine turf mile. I mean, for what he is, he was solid. He, like his old turf miles fit the spot. I had him second. I took Uncle Armando. I thought he was pretty interesting because something happened. There was a big transformation suddenly in April. I mean, he did drop, but he hadn't run like that before. He was an easy winner of a very low-level race on April 9th. But then up to the next level, first time for Safi Joseph, also made that kind of blitzing move and won easily. And after that, Joseph owns the horse, too. I thought it was interesting. So the owner trainers who have a lot of horses tend to be more realistic, I think, with their placement. And he immediately took the horse out of claiming, put him into starter, and then he didn't like Chipita. I don't think that. He just spun his wheels. But now he takes the time to ship the horse north for another starter race. I look for a big race from that horse.
I completely agree. I was shocked, actually, and I remember this horse, from the time that he spent in New York, and sometimes these horses leave your environs, and I thought
when did he last run?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very strange.
And then suddenly he wasn't that any longer. He's only four. I mean, he has the right to be getting better. Discount Medicine Tail switching to turf. Kintaros out of Pulpit, that's a pretty big turf pedigree. Kintaros is pretty good there. It's just a question of if he's going to be able to shake loose. Loveberry is pretty good on the lead, pretty good at being aggressive and taking advantage of his pace. And this horse is also down in class after being claimed for the tag that got him eligible to this race. Two starts ago, I thought he had a decent chance.
That gets us to the ninth race. This is 10 claimers. They're going to go a mile and a 16th.
Yeah, this is another hard race.
Yep.
This is a tough one. I have no strong opinion. I took Clear and Convincing, who I don't think the drop is that bad. I think he's okay. I mean, he didn't fire at all. I watched his race. He was uncomfortable from the start last time, but may have just bounced coming back on 2 weeks rest after two very strong races to start his form cycle. Ravelli is good with these horses. Puts them in the right spot. He won a race yesterday. I think a 10 claimer fillies, I don't know, something like that. This horse, I noted his work pattern for what it's worth, 20th, 27th, and third, and he worked three quarters on the grass. He seems really well meant to me. And I do like his tactical versatility, but it's not super strong. I thought Smile Brian could run back to his last race or even exceed it. He had a tough draw last time. I thought it was pretty game in beating a well-meant horse in Fahman Park. He obviously has a ton of back form to suggest that, he's not necessarily a regression candidate after a hard race. He may just have cycled back around. He's never getting, he's not like a mid-90s buyer horse anymore, but I think he's got a chance to duplicate that. The Assassin Barn had one good week, and then their horses were a little flat again yesterday. Take that for what it's worth. But Big One on the rail is in for a pretty good pocket trip, I think. Don't know really how to read his form out of the Texas bred one other than the little steak. But I think he probably fits for 10. And I don't think he's I don't like him as well as some others. To actually run a winning race, but I think he could fall into a great trip, which is, might be enough.
That gets us to the nightcap, and it's a 10 claimer, non-winners of three lifetime. And it's
alive,
a big, bulky field. If you're still alive,
pat yourself on the back. I don't know. Do you have any strong thoughts about this?
No, I don't. And I mean, I suppose a horse like, you know, like a stalker type, Tom Van Berg's got that, that Justin's Quest that I thought might be a little interesting, but he just doesn't win enough. You know, that's one of the things when you look at non-winners of two lifetime, non-winners of three lifetime, your first order of business is to go find horses that have won recently and are maybe learning how to win. You know, Power Through, for instance, Chris Block, your old friend. This is a wayward lost Illinois bred is involved here, and that's a horse that at least, you know, just is coming off of a win.
I like the other Block better and the Thunder Rolls, but I didn't like where he's drawn, and
yeah,
he's a rare winner too. I actually do kind of like a horse in this race, Tijuana Brass, who is also a recent winner, having won two back, which was also a year ago, but at Colonial and ran two big races at Colonial for 16 non-2 and 10 non-2. Also, if you look at his first race last summer, was terrible. Looks like a horse who needs a race, and it looked to me like he just got tired going a mile and an eighth last time out at Laurel for 16,000. He worked back. I think that they probably had to drop to 10 non-2. On three, since he won the 10 non-2 at Colonial. I think that was the goal all along, just wanted to get a race in him. Hopefully didn't get claimed. The horse has some tactical pace to stay in touch with however fast they go or sit back a little farther, and I think he's going to be a price. I kind of like this horse.
Tijuana Brass, there you go. Kitten's Joy, four-year-old, lightly raced. This is the kind of horse, and you get a square price. This is the kind of horse that you like to at least include at the very least, and you may be able to lean on a little bit. That's a new name on me training wise, Zoe Valbo.
Exactly. You get the zeros for the trainer and the jockey. That gets you a few extra odds points. all kinds of people win all kinds of races. Good to keep in mind.
Well, and that Denny Aroha, you know, has won. It's not like. You know, completely.
Listen, there's nobody riding
unsuccessful
that I've seen. There's nobody riding that I've seen that I'll say I won't bet on a horse that they're riding because they can't win. I mean, come on, it's just like you got to have the right mount and get in the right position and then figure it out. I'm not saying that they're all, you know, they're not all Eclipse Award winning jockeys, but people find their level, and people who are getting mounted this meet, if they're in the right situation, they're going to win.
Marcus Hirsch, everybody. And Marcus, I appreciate the bonus
nothing,
coverage.
Right? I think we've put together basically a $10,000 ticket.
Well, at least we gave anybody that, you know, has just started to look and hasn't put their tickets together yet, gave you a couple of things to think of. Marcus, looking forward to talking to you on Friday, the big Arlington Million Weekend. Maybe we should go to Melrose Park together to Johnny's for Italian beef. Wait a minute. We can't do that.
I'm just looking forward to seeing the Colonial-based Damon's Mound face Gulfport in the Saratoga Special.
It should be great.
To.
Should be great, right?
Yep.
DRF Hirsch, everybody, and we will talk to Marcus on Friday if you've got the time.
God willing.
Marcus, thanks a lot. Good luck this afternoon. Marcus Hirsch, everybody. There's a look at Colonial. Let's take our only break of the morning, and we've actually gotten a lot in already, and we've got a lot to do yet. Gage Holmes, she won the one of the stakes on Sunday at Ellis Park, and it's a really fun story. Looking forward to hearing more. And in fact, you know, not only did Gage win her first stake, but also Trainer. It's a Trainer jockey first stake win. We'll take a break here. We'll come back, and Gage Holmes will join us. Andy Serling in a little bit. And I think, I hope Popo. I've been looking for Popo for a week. We got to catch up. Back after this. Second half at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm.